Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Big mark, knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Episode 23 of the Monday Waffle podcast for season 2017. My name is Luke Shipway. Alongside me today is Jared Gardner and Poppy Penny. Guys, round 23, that's the last round of the season for 2017. What a round it was.
We made it, and there were some results that just... It's kind of like the AFL round. It came down to the last games to decide what was going to happen in the finals, and I'll lie, I didn't predict what was going to happen with West Perth.
It was pretty amazing. Claremont were leading all day, and then West Perth just snuck in. And, guys, East Frio... Jared, who said they weren't going to win a game all season, mm-hmm. East Frio climbed off the bottom of the ladder.
Well, maybe I was the catalyst. They got them going. Maybe I wasn't. Probably wasn't. But that is 130 points, was it? That's ridiculous.
130 to 69 was their final score.
Absolute. Smashed off the park. What a game.
You did get Partington his first game. So mm-hmm. Jared's just game-changing over here.
Look out, finals.
Changing the waffle.
And also South Fremantle and Subiaco continued their winning streaks, winning respectively over Peel Thunder and East Perth.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
The first match we'll look at from round 23 in the West Australian Football League was the match that probably meant the most in this round. That's Claremont versus West Perth. It was the battle for... fifth place, and West Perth has won 12-6-78 to 10-14-74. And Claremont were leading all day, but West Perth were able to hold on and win the game.
They got up, the Tigers were up by about as much as 23 points at one point, but in the last quarter, it came down to Andrew Strike kicking two quick ones at the start, and then West Perth just seemingly took control in the last quarter, which would be very deflating to the Tigers themselves. And if you were watching the game, controversial free kick was not paid in the forward line to small forward CJ Oakley. And yeah, that could have made a difference if the free kick was paid, Poppy.
Do you think that cost Claremont the game?
Well, look, they... maybe. I don't want to make too many calls, but yeah, possibly.
I mean, you don't want to be in a position where you need a free kick to win the game anyway.
Exactly.
But it was a very important game. And Aaron Black did play his 150th. And in true Aaron Black style, played an absolute blinder. He had 27 disposals, which was it's just really impressive for someone who's played that much footy, and he's just been so consistent over his whole career. So congratulations to him. He had 15 kicks and 12 handballs. Unfortunately, couldn't get a goal, but he did kick it inside 50 a few times. So congratulations to him.
Yes, he's former Sandover medal winner, and he would be putting his hand up to possibly win that medal again this year, although he'll have tough competition.
Pretty tough class.
With Tim Kelly and a few other guys like that. Shane Nelson also had a really good game for West Perth. He had 28 touches. So him and his old mate Aaron Black, they just continue to rack up the posies. For Claremont, in a loss, Jake Murphy, their captain, had 32. Ryan Lim had 28. Jared Hardesty also had 28, as well as youngster Bailey Banfield.
He's had a really good start to his career. Swan Districts took on East Frio, and in a remarkable move for the end of the season, East Frio managed to get up and climb off the bottom of the ladder. They won 20-10-130 to Swan Districts 10-9-69, and they had an 8-goal last quarter and a 7-goal second quarter, so it's not a bad effort.
You'd be forgiven to think that the scores were just printed on the wrong sides of the screen, like from what we've seen from East Fremantle earlier on this year. But no, credit to them. That is a very impressive game. It's a shame it took to the last round for them to pull this one out.
I know. The East Freo fans probably would have been tearing their hair out until this round, but they hand that wooden spoon over to Perth.
And Swan Districts, it's not very good for them heading into a final series. They'll be playing West Perth next week, and West Perth obviously coming off a win against Claremont, so you might think that the Falcons could be a favourite in that after this poor performance by the Swans.
I know, and the Falcons would have got some confidence over that win, with that win over Claremont as well, I think.
Some of the better players looking for East Fremantle, you have Sean Henson. He had 32 touches, 21 kicks and 11 marks, also very impressive performance from him. Ambrose Ryan, he kicked 3 goals, 1. He was their leading goal kickers.
So did Matthew Watson. So did Matthew Watson.
And Matthew Watson, who's been probably one of the highlights for East Fremantle in season 2017, which has we just mentioned before, has not had many highlights for the Sharks. He had 21 touches as well.
With the Swans, though, they had some good performers. Corey Galt, former Magpie, he is consistent as they come, I think, with the Swans. He consistently puts in good games. What's he got there? 34 hitouts, kicked a goal himself, 21 touches for the big man, and he's done his best there. Matt Riggio, 32, 5 inside 50s, and then Tony Knott, that's 10 marks for himself, 18 touches. There were some good performers for the game, but it's a forgetful performance for a team that will be going into the finals now.
Yeah, and they'll have to go get back on the training track and take a look and try to fix some things before they play the Falcons on the weekend.
Is it possible they were holding something back?
You would hope not. You would hope that you'd try to keep momentum going into a final series and not be holding anything back. I think that's...
It'd be the smarter play.
Yeah, but we'll just have to wait and see and find out this weekend when they play West Perth.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Moving on to Peel Thunder versus South Fremantle, a preview of what's to come next week saw Peel Thunder go down to the Bulldogs 18-12, 120 to 12-14, 86. And, well, it was a preview of what's to come. The Bulldogs continued their good form. Peel put up a good fight as well, doing what they normally do, and they have the ability to have 15 Dockers listed players who have now finished their season. Who knows what they're going to pull out in the first week of the finals?
I'd say there'll be a few fairly big inclusions coming from the AFL, so the Dockers can't go too hard on Mad Monday just yet. They've got a little bit of footy still to play.
Yeah,
that's right. And, I mean, Peel and South Fremantle, they were pretty close all day. South Fremantle had a six-goal last quarter to Peel's only two, which increased the lead probably a bit more than what the game really showed. Some of the better players for South Fremantle, I mean, Hayden Schloyth, he continues his impressive form in season 2017. He had 26, as well as Tim Kelly, who mentioned previously as a possible send-over favourite.
Did himself no harm in this game.
He had 26 as well. Yeah, exactly, no harm.
And kicked a goal.
Kicked a goal. And Mason Shaw, he led the goal-kicking for the Bulldogs with 4 goals.
And for Peel, Griffin Logue was really good in defence. He had 20 touches and he shut Ben Saunders down pretty comprehensively, actually, which is pretty good. But it'll be interesting to see which of those players come in and out of the team based on the fact they'll get quite a few of the Dockers back. I think the key that Peel were missing was that Zach Dawson didn't play. And I think that was a really key out for Peel.
They're just preparing him for the final series. Also, I'd say look out for Harley Bennell to come back and continue playing now.
Ooh.
I believe he's qualified.
Yeah, no, I think he is qualified to play for Peel.
They were a bit sneaky about getting him qualified, but I think he is.
A Ross Lyon mentioned in his press conference last week that it would depend on how his body will hold up from these last two AFL games, whether they will play Harley in the finals or not. But looking at how he played for Fremantle on the weekend, I would expect him to be playing for Peel Thunder.
Very classy. And the other thing for Peel is that Leroy Jetta got up and kicked 3 goals, which is pretty impressive in a pretty lean performance for some Peel players.
Getting him back was crucial for Peel heading into the finals. Like he is quality no matter what.
Him and Gerald Ugel in that forward line team up very well. Ugel had 2 goals, their captain. And so, let's see if they, with a few inclusions of the Dockers next week, see if they can knock South Fremantle off in the finals.
Very interesting game. And the final game we'll be looking at is Subi and East Perth. And the Subi Echo train just keeps on rolling. They got over East Perth 16-14, 110 to 10-8, 68. And this game was really won in the third quarter. They kicked 7 goals to 2 and just blitzed them.
It's what you expect from Subi Echo now. It's 19 on the trot. How did they drop the first game of the season after what they've pulled out now? I don't understand what happened there, but it's just... As what we've got now, what, Liam Ryan, Bernie Naylor next to his name.
Mm. Yep, and they reckon he took Mark of the Year again. So I think the Mark of the Year contest will be between Liam Ryan, and Liam Ryan. So be interesting to see who gets up there.
Didn't Ben Saunders get a nice mark earlier on this season? But probably not good enough.
Oh, no. I wouldn't.
Probably
think
not.
So.
I'm just trying to get someone in that competition.
Looking at this game on the weekend, Subiaco didn't even have their captain Kyle Horsley, who we know is one of their better players. He didn't play on the weekend, but the contributors that they have, you know, Scott Hancock had 30, and I mean, Corey Adamson had 21, who was a new addition for the Lions this year. He's been very handy. He also made the state team, so he's been a good inclusion there for the Lions. And they just continue to do what they've been doing all year, and that's just beat teams, and not beat teams by a little, but they're beating teams by a lot and a big margins.
It helps when you've got players like Liam Ryan kicking 6, and then you've got Delahunty kicking 4. Mm. If you've got two players that can combine for 10 goals, it's pretty hard to lose.
I think Delahunty's been a huge... they probably gotten out of him more than they would have expected, have him filling in for the ruckman role, being very mobile ruckman, getting possessions, kicking goals. I mean, he only had 11 hitouts, but when your ruckman's kicking 4 goals, it's a great effort, and you'll take that any day of the week.
For the Royals, they had some good contributors on their side. Sherrod Wellingham, maligned eagle at the moment, kicked a nice banana goal from the pocket, or from the race. Actually, we saw that on social media. That was an incredible goal.
Oh, wow.
I have to wonder if his time with the Eagles might be up, though, not being recalled.
He did have 30 disposals, so anyone who underperformed on the weekend for West Coast might be getting a little bit nervous, but...
But after the hype that's come out of them winning and getting to the finals, maybe don't change the team that managed to knock off the ladder leaders. But we have to move on with that. Nathan Blee, he is class, that man. I'm a fan of Nathan Blee. I've seen him play in person, consistently good. Who else do we have here? Francis.
Maston.
Oh, absolutely.
Maston, 28.
Yeah.
Jonathan Joles, 45 hitouts.
Not bad. Not bad in the ruck.
Cult hero. Get him in the team.
Old toothless Joles.
Absolutely. Francis Watson, I am keen to see him in Eagles colours next season. I think he'll do some good things. He might be the replacement for Wellingham.
You've been campaigning for him since the beginning the beginning of the year.
Also, I won't stop.
I think Willie Rioli might get a call up next year as well.
Absolutely.
If he can keep himself fit and healthy over the off season, he kicked a couple of great goals on the weekend too.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Looking ahead to the first week of finals in the West Australian Football League for season 2017 on the Saturday, September 2nd at 2:10 p.m. at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. It will be South Fremantle versus Peel Thunder. And on the Sunday, the 3rd of September at 2:40 p.m. at Steel Blue Oval, it will be Swan Districts versus West Perth. Okay, guys, who are we tipping? Who are we backing? And it's obviously Subiaco have the week off, and they'll play the winner of South Fremantle Peel next week to see who then goes straight to the grand final.
Well, no matter what, I think the Lions will hit the grand final. They'll beat whoever wins out of Bulldogs and Peel.
Yep.
Which I think the Bulldogs will win again, despite Fremantle loading up, I think, Peel, or Peel loading up with Fremantle. So I'll make the call that, yes, Bulldogs will take on the Lions the next week after beating Peel, and then Peel will take on, I think, West Perth.
Me too.
They're riding a serious wave now.
Yep.
I agree with Bulldogs and West Perth. I think they'll win next week.
I think the Bulldogs-Peel game will be interesting, though, because up until not long ago, most of those Peel players would have trained at Freo Community Bank Oval. Because that's obviously they're all training based. So lots of those players will be quite comfortable at that ground. So I don't think the Bulldogs have that much of a home ground advantage in terms of that. So that will be quite interesting because I think that'll play a part in terms of goal kicking and that sort of thing. They'll know the ground fairly well.
But the Bulldogs have been playing this well all season.
Yeah.
And they've got just a ridiculous unit at their disposal.
I still think the Dogs will get up. I'm with you on that. But I think it'll be close.
Sometimes with, with like Peel and East Perth, when they have the affiliation with the AFL teams, you never really have a consistent lineup in there week after week. So chopping and changing, you know, you haven't gelled necessarily as well as the other Waffle teams have. So that could play a cause. But obviously it didn't affect Peel last year. So you never know.
It's going to be interesting. I think Peel's lineup will look very similar to the lineup that won the grand final last year. So it's going to be an interesting weekend of footy, but I think probably Subi will make it to the grand final, and I don't think anyone will be able to stop them once they get there. In terms of the ladder, this is how it all finished up. Obviously, Subi finished on top with 19 wins. South Freo finished in second on 16, well clear of Peel, who were on 12. Swan Districts and West Perth both got 10 wins for the season, which kept East Perth and Claremont in the bottom four on 9 wins and 8 wins, respectively. And then East Freo and Perth, they round out the ladder with East Freo climbing off the bottom and handing that wooden spoon to Perth, both having won only 3 games this year.
Well, guys, that's I believe that's all we have time for here on episode 23 of the Monday Waffle for season 2017. Next week, finals edition of the Monday Waffle.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Should be exciting to see the results over the weekend. Thank you for listening. I'm Luke Shipway.
I'm Jared Gardner.
And I'm Poppy Penny. Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.